God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our Advent series and going through various passages of Isaiah, and tonight we take a look at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And in the midst of this text, there is something that could be considered very, very current in one essence. During the time of our text, the people of Israel were kind of like without hope. They were kind of depressed, so to speak. And they wanted some, so to speak, justice. But it seemed like they weren't getting any justice. So in our text for today, Isaiah notes about who this coming king will be like and what will he do. And it says, "He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." It's interesting in our text for today, you know, you would think that these words would sit there and say, hey, this would be great. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a judge who actually would know man's hearts, to really know who's right and who's wrong? But as we know in human society, that leaders sin. They fall short of God's glory. And so needless to say, even in today's time, after the news of earlier this week about our own governor falling into sin, being arrested, up on charges, most Illinoisans would say, what's new? Unfortunately, we kind of get used to things like this. So did the people during the time of Isaiah. They got used to it so much that they completely ignored God's promises, completely ignored any hope for their society or future. They thought that things were gone to the pits. While Illinois may be the laughingstock of the nation, that some commentators would say, most Chicagoans and Illinoisans sit there and say, unfortunately, this seems to be normal. So what happens when it seems like everything is dead and gone, so to speak? So we go back to the first verse of our text. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. And so for tonight, we're going to pick up on that theme. The stump of a tree is something that's usually considered as dead wood, worthless, to be abandoned, maybe to be sit upon for a moment. And if you have one of those machines to grind it up as sawdust, I guess maybe that can have some benefit to go back into the soil. But deep down inside, most of us look at a tree stump and saying, it's worthless. It's gone. But however, God sees deeper than our human eye. Deep down, according to our text, there still may be life. We just can't see it. It'd be buried deep beneath the ground. And so God uses the stump as a way of giving encouragement and a promise to the people of Israel. The encouragement goes like this. When the people of Israel feel that all is lost and gone and that there is no hope, God will bring hope. Very similar almost to us in our own times, as how many of us really flinched with the governor being arrested? We see the economy going down. We might have some concerns and worries, but is all our hope lost? I hope and pray that all our hope is not lost, that we pick up these words of Isaiah the prophet and we apply the hope that God was going to give to them that he also gives to us today. The hope that God gives in our text for today, that shoot, so to speak, from the stump of Jesse, is in the form of a Messiah, the Christ, who would fix, redeem, regrow, using a verb fitting in today's text. Please note that the shoot would have the same essence as the stump once did. But now new life would appear. This is something from the main plant, not something completely new and foreign. A new start from the old plant, the old DNA coming forth. And this new growth takes place. The shoot will eventually surpass where the previous one failed. And that's the key here. Advent, as we note, means coming. Fits well with our text. Isaiah is pointing to the people to the promise, the coming promise of God for restoration, which we know takes place through the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this new fulfilling promise of God is going to be different from the old, as Scripture reminds us. This is one that would not ever be cut down, broken, destroyed. This is one that would save all people throughout time and eternity. We have to remember that it was the people of Israel who cut down God's promises, who sort of destroyed God's relationship with them. It was their rebellion that led to the dead stump. God, in turn, would take that same dead stump and cause a shoot to come up to restore what the people once destroyed. Some of us may beg the question, well, why would God do things this way? Why would He want to bring people so far down in order just to bring them up again? Does it really make sense? And in one essence, we really don't know why God chooses to do things the way He does, but there are some very good conclusions we can draw from this. We note here that the people would consider the stump as dead wood, and in one essence, the people of Israel also gave up their hope upon God and society. Why would God want to wait so long? Well, one answer to the question would be so that the people would understand anything that would come up is a miracle, is a gift of God. Something that they didn't do, that they didn't nurture, that they didn't contribute. It is God who does the action when humanity cannot. God takes what humanity did, killing God's promises, and creates something new and indestructible. What God gives, even the devil cannot take away, as Jesus notes when He says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand." So how does all this apply to us today in our Advent time? We can talk about Advent past, but what about Advent present? Well, maybe a good parallel here would be to ask us a series of questions. We are just as guilty as the people of Israel. Maybe not exactly the same way, but in a different way. How many times have we ever given up on life? How many times have we ever felt completely useless? How many times in our lives have we ever used the word failure and applied it to ourselves? How many times have we ever wondered, why is God keeping me here? Or how many times have we ever wondered why I am here? Or what difference am I making in today's world? Or what's God's plan for me? What we would call useless, hopeless, or even failure, God says otherwise. We see what we consider something as dead, God says, not yet. He's the one who restores, renews, and gives life. When we get impatient with life, when we get impatient with things around us, it is God who is patient and loving. When we fail to forgive, it is God who forgives. When we devalue life and put others down, God says, people are important. Regardless whether they agree with you, act like you, speak the same language, or have the same values, God loves all people. But it is our human sinful nature that wants to bring us down. Even the prophets are not immune to this. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we hear of Elijah, the prophet of God, who was on the run, so to speak, very depressed, and finally says, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." In one essence, Elijah considered himself dead, or dead wood. Elijah felt that he was a failure in communicating God's word, that no one believed in God anymore. We find out in just a few verses afterwards, God says, "Yet I leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So in the midst of what the prophet thought as failure, God says, "No, there is that remnant. You just can't see it." And that is how our sinful nature works. What our sinful nature sees and wants to call as dead, so that we get depressed or throw a pity party, God says, "No, there is life." This is how God works. So that Elijah doesn't trust in Elijah's efforts, but trusts in God's. God does the same thing with us. When we see nothing, God says there is something. When we see failure, God knows how our own words and our own actions have a very positive impact upon others and their lives. We just don't necessarily see it or hear it. But God knows the hearts of all people. And He uses you as tools and instruments through His Holy Spirit. Do not doubt the power of God. With God, there is no failure. You are redeemed by Christ the crucified, not abandoned by Him. As long as you draw breath, you are a tool and an instrument for God. Often when talking with people, and especially people who are well advanced in years, and it seems that their bodies are falling apart quickly, sometimes I hear in a moment of depression and despair, "Why am I here? Why doesn't God take me? I don't see any reason why God is keeping me here on this earth." And the answer is, we do not know all things. I really cannot answer that. But we also don't realize how many people we have touched that our presence reaches out to. They may feel alone or forgotten, but they don't know the hearts and minds of all people. They don't know when people are thinking about them, when people are praying for them, and even when people wish they could contact them, but somehow can't. Because of the loneliness and the frustration and the unableness to do what they really want to do, they sink in despair. And they need to hear the words on how God can take what mankind considers a dead stump and cause a shoot to come up from. Even today, I had to add this into my sermon for tonight. Today I received an email from someone who I hadn't seen in over 30 years. He stumbled across my name from the internet and sent me an email. In one essence, it was a little depressing. Because as he said to me in an email, "You remember me from 30 years ago," and I'm thinking, I can't be that old, can I? The answer is, it was only 29 years ago. Denial is great. The reason why I bring this in is because it illustrates something. Apparently, he was thinking of me. I wasn't thinking of him. Okay, sorry, Tim, if you're listening to this email, I'll fess up. But he apparently was thinking of me, and so God does know the hearts of all people. Why did God want to arrange this email contact? I'm not too sure at the moment, but I'll let God worry about that. Needless to say, it's not my duty to then go to this "woe to me, no one cares about me." No, there are people who care, people who love. God does use us in ways that are beyond our understanding, God can take what humanity sees as a dead stump and bring about life and restoration. God uses what humanity calls dead. And He's done it before. Think about Good Friday. When the centurion pierced the side of our Savior Jesus Christ and out flowed blood and water, showing to the world that, yes, our Savior was dead. Good Friday was a day of wonderful teaching. That, yes, when humanity calls something dead, God can raise it with a beautiful resurrection and proof for love of humanity. It is out of death that Christ Jesus gives us life. What humanity thought was done, God says, oh no, just the beginning. As Jesus dies on the cross, we have forgiveness, life, and salvation because God values our life. Humanity is important. God cares and loves all people. So there is salvation through the stump of the cross. Advent present today is that God comes to us and still uses us as tools and instruments and gives us life. Even though we may be feeling lifeless, useless, or depressed, God still smiles and says, you're loved and you're still useful to Him. You just may be unaware. God comes to us especially when we are lifeless, when we have given up hope, in a way of showing us He is Almighty God and that He is there for us. Even though it may seem like everyone else may have abandoned us, seeming to us, that is, God has not. Through His Word and sacraments, He demonstrates His love for us. We need to hang on to that message and not let the sinfulness of our human nature to drive us in despair by not listening to His message of hope and restoration. A God who remembers, even though we may at times abandon His message. A God who brings life, even though at times we may wish for the end of our life, like Elijah did. Advent future. We know that, yes, we are looking forward to the final restoration, but not as a way of escaping this world because we have had it with this world. Do we not trust in the promises of God that God is with us? God is in control. God will take care of us. God loves us. God can work through us. Our hope is in that final restoration. Why? It is a promise of God. He promises to come again. So we look forward to the second coming of Christ, even though He is always with us as a fulfillment and a restoration. Our text for today has many lines in it about that restoration by the shoot of Jesse. It talks about how sin will be wiped out, and so you have many marvelous things taking place. The wolf and the lamb shall dwell together, the leopard and the young goat, the calf and the lion. A little child will play over the hole of a cobra. Things that would be seeming to be sin and terrible things in today's world are going to be undone. And in this line, there's also another line of comfort. He says, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. We live in a world that seems to be filled with hurt, a world that loves destruction. But God says, at that final advent, there will be no more hurt nor destruction. This, of course, is a promise of God, and we hang on to this promise of God. So when our lives seem to be challenged, when our lives seem to be frustrated, painful, lonely, without hope, we need to look for the shoot. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that shoot. Because in that shoot there is hope, there is life, There is salvation not by your actions, but by God's actions through the shoot of Jesse, the son, the father of David, the father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we look for the shoot, our Savior, our Deliverer, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.